This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Coming up, American musicians defy the Iron Curtain and dazzle Soviet audiences. But first, your letters. We got many emails after our interview with Larry Ashmead about his recent book, Bertha, Venation, and hundreds of other funny names of real people. Betsy Thagard in Austin, Texas writes, the book reminds me of two partners in my father's radiology group many years ago, Dr. Watts and Dr. Volz. Winifred Newcomb of St. Paul, Minnesota, also tracks what she calls career names. The Boston Fire Department employee named Morash, the former Massachusetts Racing Commissioner named Furlong, and a former president of the Fund for Animals named Farrell. Chip Overclock of Denver, Colorado adds, I know a Park A. Studebaker. Finally, Kim Johnson of Old Town Maine writes, was it only an interesting coincidence that the same show featuring a book about funny names also included a conversation about a book called The Geography of Bliss by Eric Weiner? Yes. Now a correction. My essay last week about race and politics, I said 7 of the 9 U.S. Supreme Court justices are Roman Catholic. That was wrong. There are actually 5 Catholics on the court, 2 are Protestant, 2 are Jewish. Our conversation with Charlie Cook, editor and publisher of the Cook Political Report, looking ahead to the New Hampshire primaries, prompted Joyce Arnold of Nashville to write, Mr. Cook made a not surprising but still disturbing observation. Talking about Barack Obama's momentum coming out of Iowa, Mr. Simon asked if Obama might receive more scrutiny. Mr. Cook said, the news media loves a good story. I appreciate the honesty, but I wonder about the apparent lack of concern of media-determined good stories, the amount of time and space devoted to them. Mr. Cook's uncritical acknowledgement of a self-appointed media role just might indicate that old news needs to be an ongoing good story. Listeners criticized our conversation with John Carlisle of the National Legal and Policy Center about his group funding investigative journalism, while U.S. media outlets are reducing the number of their investigative reporters. Greg Mosco of Sherman Oaks, California writes, when your guests cast thinly veiled aspersions on similar efforts by liberal groups, I wish you'd called him out on it, and I wish you'd pointed out that the dividing line between these efforts on either side and propaganda is a very slippery, blurry one. Investigative reporting is the valuable service that traditional journalistic organizations can provide by playing gatekeeper against blatant propaganda and providing fact-checking and verification to what they choose to print. Please write to us. You can go to our website, npr.org, click on the link that says Contact Us, and please tell us where you live and how to pronounce your name.